love your work. On this show, we meet people who have carved out success by their own definition. I'm David Cadavy, best-selling author and entrepreneur. This episode is another experimental episode where I'll be sharing some content that I've written elsewhere on the web. And this is about mini lives. You might hear me talk about mini lives a little bit with some of the guests. It's basically living your normal life in another city for an extended period of time and everything that goes along with that. So the text from this is from a post that I wrote for Observer.com. You can find it on Observer.com if you do some Googling. But here I'm going to go ahead and read it to you. A month at a time, why I quit traveling and started living mini lives. I have a confession. Are you ready for this? I feel like you're going to judge me. Okay, well, here goes. I don't really like traveling. I feel like I'm the only person. It seems everyone fantasizes about quitting their job and traveling around the world, sleeping in hostels with all their possessions on their back. And I'd be shocked if I ever saw an online dating profile that didn't mention traveling. But to me, it's not that great. It throws all your routines out of whack. If you're going to travel right, you can't bring much stuff with you. So you have to use crappy hotel shampoo, eat all of your meals in restaurants, and generally not have your space to yourself. Then stuff goes wrong. Your luggage gets lost, you get lost, or your couchsurfing host failed to mention the thick coating of cat hair covering everything in his apartment. Traveling is also often associated with vacation. I've made specific choices in my life to ensure that I actually love my job. I don't really want to stop working to go look at buildings and old broken stuff for 2 weeks. People say they like to travel because it connects them with other cultures. But then they only end up staying a couple of days in each place, which to me is like licking a filet mignon. You get a taste, but you don't get nourishment. So whenever I hear about someone traveling to every country in the world, or I see a video of a guy riding on a camel for a few moments before jetting off to another country, all in pursuit of making it count, I'm pretty much, meh. I'm not the first person to feel this way about traveling. Take Seneca, for example. The primary indication, in my thinking, of a well-ordered mind is a man's ability to remain in one place. Everywhere means nowhere. When a person spends all his time in foreign travel, he ends by having many acquaintances, but no friends. Now, far be it for me to argue with one of the most influential philosophers in history, but even for me, that's a bit much. Travel can be incredibly valuable. It can shake the cobwebs off your most outdated habits and rituals. It can introduce you to new ways of thinking and living, and it can bring you towards a sublime version of yourself. When you force yourself to live in a different place and culture, you begin to notice which traits of yours are inherently yours, and which traits are just the product of your surroundings. When you're in New York, maybe you get impatient walking down the street. Everyone seems to be in your way. When you're in Medellin, maybe you sit in the front seat of the taxi. To Paisas, it seems everyone is a friend. When you're in Buenos Aires, maybe you realize that yes, in fact, you are still capable of staying out until 8 a.m. The atmosphere has that much energy. The process of immersing, then extracting yourself from various cultures, smooths the form of yourself. It fills in the gaps where you were unaware of and polishes off the edges where you were rough. This is why, even though I don't really like traveling, I've made it a habit to live mini lives. It's like living your normal life just in a different city. It lets you experience a new place on a deeper level without having to take a vacation or sleep in a different bed every night. I've lived mini lives in Rome, Buenos Aires, Medellin, and Brooklyn, and I think they're great opportunities to live a life rich in experiences. And what is a mini life? A mini life is when you spend 1 month or more in a location other than your hometown, all while living a life that closely resembles your usual day-to-day. Change is inherent in being in another location, so there's no need to force it beyond that to get the benefits of a mini life. Mini lives are not to be confused with mini retirements, which are a little more vacation-like, and mini lives are less disruptive to one's regular routines and relationships than pure digital nomadicism, which can often leave people feeling alienated. To live an effective mini-life, rent out your usual place, then use that rent money to get yourself a place in any location you wish. You can get a house on a beach in Thailand, or an apartment in Berlin, or treat yourself to a month in an expensive city where you'd normally never live. While you're living in that other location, meet new people and try on some of the local habits. You can use a mini-life to make business connections in a city other than your own. I met Ryan Holiday during my mini-life in New York City, which led to this article. Learn to tango in Buenos Aires, or go way beyond your Duolingo sessions to finally learn that new language. I gave my first presentation in Spanish in Colombia the other day. Mini-lives stick with you in a way that normal travel can't. I've traveled all over the world promoting my book and speaking, and the extended periods I've spent during my mini-lives have been much richer in influence and memories than the times I just spent a few days in a city. What's so great about mini-lives? A mini-life lets you get a taste of living in another location, and all the personal growth that comes along with new experiences, without having to take a bunch of time off work or ending your trip feeling like you missed out on something. You get to experience a new culture far more in-depth than when bouncing from place to place. Shake the cobwebs from your regular life. Routines are great. Maybe you eat almond butter and apples for a snack every night, or you read the same cafe every Saturday. However, routines can stagnate. Eventually, we're just going through the motions, and our routines lose their purpose and pleasure. Mini-lives change all of that. They help clear the cobwebs from our day-to-day, so only the things closest to our cores remain. You have to make lots of preparations to go do a mini-life, and that often involves doing things that you'd normally put off. For example, to really pull off a mini-life budget-wise, you'll want to rent out your usual home using Airbnb or Craigslist. So you have to get ready by getting your place organized, throwing away, giving away, and selling all that junk that you'll never use again, and getting your place clean and ready for your tenant. If you're anything like me, none of that stuff will ever get done without the deadline of an upcoming mini-life. All that junk will just sit around, getting old, and collecting cobwebs. Get introduced to new things. After your mini-life shakes the cobwebs off your old, stagnant routines, you start to have more space for new things in your life. Maybe your new apartment building has a steam room that you start using after your workouts, or your tango lessons are at 2 p.m. Maybe the apples aren't that good in Colombia, and you discover that almond butter isn't to be found anywhere. Part of what's great about a mini-life is that you can generally live your normal day-to-day life, but being in a different location inherently brings serendipitous changes. It's great to bring a friend or two on a mini-life, but you're going to start off with a much smaller social circle than you had in your home base. This forces you to start meeting new people, and is especially useful if you're trying to learn a new language during your mini-life. Most major Spanish-speaking cities have language exchange events where you can meet locals. You teach them a little Spanish, they teach you a little English. Beyond just meeting locals, even other expats you meet in your mini-life will be some of the most interesting, resourceful, and creative people you've ever encountered. These people do not make excuses for not living the life they want. One of my travel buddies met her husband, a fellow mini-lifer, the first day of her mini-life in Buenos Aires. Reintegrate into a more pure self. Once your mini-life ends, you have a new version of yourself. You keep everything that was already great, throwing away what wasn't, and add new experiences, habits, and relationships that are all a part of a new you. When you get back to your hometown, you'll surely be eager to go read at your favorite cafe again, or have lunch with a friend, or fill them in on your adventures. But you'll find that you want to replace some of the routines of your old life with those of your mini-life. Sometimes it's those exotic things that you didn't know that you could get back in your hometown. Maybe you find yourself going to tango concerts and sipping mate back in your home base, or going out of your way to find a restaurant that serves the arepas. These things take on a richness they never could have had they not already been a part of your life for an extended period. Not everything you pick up from a mini-life will have to do with the local culture. Mini-lives can allow you to share space with a friend for a couple of months without the friendship-killing aspects of being indefinite roommates, so you may pick up habits from them as well. One friend I roomed with got me in the habit of making vegetable smoothies, and another convinced me to try and finish the entire Insanity workout program. Some of you are surely on board with me, especially if you are already working online like I do. But some of you probably don't think you can pull off a mini-life, financially or logistics-wise. Next week, I'll tell you not only how to get the financial freedom to take off to another city for a couple of months, but also how to make your trip a huge success once you get there. Or maybe I've inspired you to take off on a mini life tomorrow morning. Just don't forget the almond butter. So there you have it. Just a note on that last paragraph. I ended up actually publishing the second part of that article with some of the logistics and kind of the how-tos of a mini life on Katavi.net. So if you search for mini lives Katavi, you're probably going to get the article that I just mentioned, and then you'll also get the one that's on Katavi.net, which is the sort of the sequel, the follow-up to this post. So I hope this gets you thinking or gets you inspired to think about either doing a mini life or getting your life set up so that you can eventually do one. Now, to help us get this show off to a great start, can I ask you a favor? In this first few weeks of the show, we have the opportunity to be featured in the iTunes store in their new and noteworthy section. This is the one chance in the lifetime of this show to really bring in more listeners, and more listeners means I can put more of my energy into bringing you great guests with wisdom to share. But in order for that to happen, we need reviews on iTunes. Lots of them. They also have to be positive reviews, but that's, of course, up to you and the actual quality of this show. So can you please review the show on the iTunes store? If you loved it and want to hear more, please give it 5 stars. Before I go, I gotta ask, do you like books? If you do, I'd love to send you my book recommendations. About 90% of them will be nonfiction on subjects spanning from biographies to neuroscience. Just go to katavi.net/reading, sign up, and you'll get my first set of recommendations right away. You'll be supporting the show if you buy any of those books through the links in the email. This has been Love Your Work, and I'm David Katavi. The theme music for this show is See In You, performed by The Album Leaf, courtesy of Sub Pop Records. Love Your Work is a production of Katavi, Inc.